find out. I think everyone was
We're in Google Hangouts right now, and we have Jane Boyne talking from Vancouver.
So you can have it going like a curated order or an alphabetical order or, you know, how the crowd ranks it order, you know, based on the number of, I think those are the three. I'm not sure if there's a fourth one. Betsy or Greg, do you recall if there's another part to that? I'm not sure, but I think it just depends on, you know, are you basing it on interaction, say, like you want people to vote something up? Then that's the order that it would appear in as the default if you set that when you set up the list.
Yeah, so you set that at the start. So if something is time-based in a way, you want to make it so that the more people talk about it, the higher it goes up, because that means it's likely to be coming up, or it's good and it's engaging at the moment. And as they deplete, they go, you know, scoots on.
That's Dermot Coggan from Cork.
That would make sense to me, yeah. I think it depends on, you know, on what your overall goal of your list is, say. So, you know, it depends on what you're listing to a certain extent. Here comes Nick.
Becky, when we were talking on Skype before this event, you gave me a suggestion that a good way of prompting conversation was that people in a place like Cork should be thinking about what tourists coming to Cork would be actually interested in about Cork. Could you say something about your view on how Listly could be used in a very small village in Oklahoma to get people to come to that village from other places?
I think that connects very well with the things that we just talked about of creating the lists that connect with people, what people search for. So the best places to visit in or things to do. There is a lot of searching for things to do. And then another thing that occurred to me as you folks were talking, I'll say y'all as y'all were talking, is about language differences. You said, you know, what are the best events on in this location? And that's phrased differently depending on where you're from and how you talk. So you have to think about that in creating your lists. You may want to create a separate list or come up, make sure that you phrase it both ways so that it can be search engine friendly, depending on how people are searching. And if your primary visitor, you know, you may even want to make a list that says, you know, best things for Americans to do while they're in Cork, or best ways for Americans to really connect with the culture while they're here. And the other thing that you and I talked about, Paul, that I think is really useful to think about, and it does not matter at all what tool you are using, it applies with Listly as well as with anything else, and that is to think seriously, and it's really hard to do this, think seriously about the qualities that make you as people different from your counterparts in a large urban area, say London. What is it that's different about you? How do you treat people differently? How do you interact differently? Because that matters a lot. That's part of what people come to visit and to see, is to connect with your culture and who you are. And because you come from a smaller place and a completely different culture, you have some wonderful things about yourself to share. And while it's hard to think about that in a room full of people that are all the same in terms of these characteristics, you may need somebody from outside who can say, but you don't realize you smile at people, or you don't know that one of those differences is how friendly you are. So you have to really think hard to find the characteristics that make you the most special, and then how do we share that? How can we convey that personality online? What words do we use to make people understand how we are as people?
Well, the great thing I think about Listly is that on the one hand, you can try to convey that through text. You can say, this is what we're like, and you give a supporting text to it. And there other people, though, can talk about that difference. Yeah. They don't have to write anything. And someone else can then, who happens to fancy video, can shoot a YouTube video, a piece of YouTube, so you can actually see them doing it. So I mean, and someone else can even take a photograph of the funny things people do in Cork that you wouldn't find London people doing. Like smiling at you, smiling at a... Actually, there's a good one. Irish people have a habit of saluting each other, right? It is a normal thing in Ireland to salute people when you're driving along the road and the two cars are, you know, nearly bashing into each other. You kind of tip your hat. Now, that isn't done, is it, Greg, in London?
No, it's not in Dublin. Is it done where you are, Becky? Does everyone say hello to each other?
Photos can go a long way with this as well. When I was visiting in Edinburgh, there was a wonderful local shop, and they had a little sign in the window that said, "We have found a woman's purse. Please inquire within if it's yours." That's a small town thing. I don't know how big Edinburgh is, but you've lost your purse. Just a little photo that can convey a slice of it. Another place I saw that they had an ad for horse rugs waterproofing. And I didn't need my horse rug waterproof while I was on holiday, but I'm telling you that these little things that you don't think about because you're there, you have to talk to people who visited, who remember them, that they stuck out for them because they're completely different than what we're used to. In Oklahoma, we do salute on the road, but we just give you just like, kind of just a little wave. Just that much. That's it. No tip of the hat.
We have two kind of waves. We have a thank you wave and a sorry wave when it comes to cars on the roads. So it's a case of thanks for letting me out or sorry I nearly hit you. But a friend of mine who came here used to call it wave country because as soon as he came down across the border into Cork, everybody started to wave. So he decided he called it wave country. So that's where we are. So maybe that's unique, waving. Wave country.
The other thing I'd like to have a little get people's views on is about bloggers. You know, Cork is full of bloggers. There are bloggers doing all sorts of things, just like everywhere else. And the number of people who will take up blogging in the next 5 years, it'll grow enormously. And there'll be all sorts of different kinds of blogs. But this feature of Listly, in which you can embed a list into your blog, is to me absolutely fabulous. I just like to get other people's views on that. To me, it actually makes writing a blog post incredibly easy. You can do it in two stages. The first stage is you put up the key points you want to make, and you put those up in almost like shorter than tweets. You know, they can be 6 words, and then you go back to them when you have time and you fill in the different bits, and you gradually, you know, end up with a whole collection of blog posts within a blog post.
I started a list recently on my blog. Influential documentary photographers working today. And the reason was certainly twofold. One was that community building aspect to see if I couldn't get a list built with my readers. The other thing is by doing this, I get introduced to documentary photographers I'm not aware of. So suddenly you're tapping into the information that your readers have, and therefore your blog is less about what you have to say and more about what other people... So you become kind of like a funnel and a channel, which I think from a user perspective and making a blog more useful, actually there's a lot of value there. So I really love that bit of functionality. Being able to drop that into a blog post is fabulous. And I've had really nice conversations with readers around that, and it's been offline, it's been via email, but people are contributing and people are looking at the list and people are, you know, showing me photographers I've never known and are interacting with me. I think it's really, really useful functionality. Really useful.
That's one question I have, actually, if it's okay. I was actually talking to someone today about listening. I was talking about the amount of traffic.
Greg McQueen from Denmark.
About Sound 100, for example, that seemed to get a lot of traffic very, very quickly. And it kind of made me curious about, where that traffic comes from and how that figure is made. I don't know if you can talk a little bit about that, Nick.
So basically, the every time a list is fully rendered on a page, whether not on the home page initially, because that's actually just obviously the summaries of the list, but if someone clicks on a list and goes to the full list and it's rendered, then that count will go up by one. The count will also go up when you embed that list and it's rendered on the blog. So that's what drives it up. What's
Nick Kellis, the founder of Listly.
Some lists come along and just go like crazy. The traffic just hits. And others, basically, I kind of just think of them as what turns out to be non-interesting lists, just fall like a lead balloon and see no views at all. So I can have a blog, I can have a list that will crunch through 1,000 views in 10 minutes, and another one that will take 6 months to get there. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of this is SEO driven, right? That's for sure. But it's also the way you word it, whether it's curious. It's the same. It's all the same science as, like, I don't know, who's heard of Headline Hacks by John Morrow? The types of headlines you can write. Well, I think there's a version of John's headline hack written a list title. Because the way you word a list, to Becky's point, you know, use SEO, but also use people's actual language, your target audiences. If you can connect to people feel compelled to share it and be found via Google. I think you need both. I think if people are compelled to share it via Facebook, you get a lot of active traffic very quickly. I think with SEO, you get traffic, but it's more progressive over time, right? There's not like a big rush if you put out a good SEO term, but depending on the term, right? Some terms will be really high. But I think the other thing is to think of not every list should have necessarily really high volume of traffic. But just that it's there and it catches that search when it comes along, even low value lists can have a lot of value to you because they've still got you found.
So from a
science to it at this point. Right.
So from a kind of what you call it, from a strategic point of view, would it then be more sensible to say if you had, for example, a central website for a particular project, would it then make more sense for everyone who's involved in that project to blog about that project on their own blogs, but then bring it all together in Listly and embed that list on the main project website? That to me seems like a formula that would drive an awful lot of traffic, actually.
Yeah, definitely that's the case. There's an example, a project done by a guy called Danny Hiddy, where he published an ebook, and he very quickly got 20 plus bloggers to have embedded that list. And that you can see that, I mean, if you click on the embeds link, you get the full traffic. You can see how many of each of those embeds have been viewed. You can see where the voting is occurring. So you can see where engagement exists. And then, you know, once you've learned that, you can prioritize who you partner with, because it's all very well someone having really high traffic, but low engagement doesn't actually bring you what you actually want. I'd rather have a series of smaller bloggers that have higher engagement, because, you know, each blogger is actually, each blog has its own culture, right? So if I go to, you know, Margie Clayman's blog, and if you know Margie Clayman, oh my God, you nearly get knocked over by the comments coming in. If you arrive on a blog when a new post goes live, it's like trying to cross the street. There's like comments coming. It really is a live culture that she's created there. And you own the culture on your blog, and you start the culture, your audience determines the culture. And so you're really teaching people to engage, and you're teaching a community to engage. If you're gonna promote a city or a town, socially, the more hands you have to that, the more networks you have access to, the more that's going to propel itself. Now, I can give you some great examples of where Listly has been incredibly successful in a local market, and it really reset my expectations on how social media works, because I always thought that social media just spread randomly around the globe because you can't control stuff. But if you get a local issue, people will share it with their friends on Facebook, and that makes something spread locally, not globally.
We had an example recently of an event in the Rubicon in Cork, in Cork Institute of Technology campus, where Margaret Smith and a lot of other people organized a social World Social Media Day, and they organized, you know, the event was organized by loads and loads of people. They all did a whole lot of different things. So it was actually very handy, and people to put up the names of all the people. Just the names of them. It wasn't enough time to say what exactly they had done, but just there's a huge list. Well, there's a list of all the people who were involved in making that day happen. And that list is then there for any other organizer of the event next year to dig it out and see who was involved, who you know, what are their Twitter names. You know, I think that could be a useful local use of things. Who is doing things locally?
I always suggest anyone, I'm teaching anyone to use listening for the first time, I basically say start with people, right?
Yeah.
Build a list of people just to kind of get your teeth into the whole idea. Because people listen to people mentions. So if you build a list with people's Twitter names on it and share out the fact you've added those, you'll get retweets, and people will get interested in your list. So flushing out, first of all, finding who your network of people are locally, and thinking them, asking for, I got two examples I mentioned the other day, Paul. One was in Adelaide, where we flushed out all of the top tweeters in Adelaide, not per, as Twitter would say, or by any other means, but just totally crowdsourced. And that really drove massive engagement. Adelaide happens to be one of our biggest cities on this view right now as a result of that. And they've made all sorts of other lists that kind of flowed from those first lists. The other one was, who does good in a community? And we did that in Northern Ohio. That list just ignited. People started a list with saying, here's 10 people that do good in Northern Ohio. Surely there's more. And not only people jumped in and voted for the people who already suggested, but they then started sharing with their friends who also added to the list, and everyone was voting up, and people were celebrating the fact that they were on the list. So I would even go as far as create a badge, create an award, give status to people. I mean, they're going to have status anyway by being on the list. So you could say Cork's Most Generous Citizen Award. Who's done, who's helped with the homeless in Cork? Who are the most generous people that helped in this cause? And you'll flush them out. And they don't even have to be on Twitter. They could just, because you can set them up with a link and a description and even upload a photo. They don't have to be in social media. I think there's a lot of people who aren't, obviously, and that's fine. But flushing out that list makes other people feel like they want to be involved too.
There are a lot of people nodding around this table. I think that that has resonated very strongly with us locally here, Nick.
Yeah, we were blown away by what happened in Northern Ohio. A guy called Dan Northrop. Happy to introduce you to him. He totally tell you his side of the story. But he was the guy actually that said to me, he was the guy that basically said, I felt like piece of my soul into that list. I had to keep coming back and checking on it. And he felt comfortable with saying and feeling and doing the same thing. And that's where really it dawned on me that lists are communities. Like every list, if it's a successful list, is as many people as you can cluster around a topic that care about it. That is a community. Now, I think there's some features of listview that are missing there right now. We don't do much to actually let those users talk to each other. They can talk to each other over the top of listening around Facebook and Twitter, but I think we can do more for that. But the idea that lists are community forming makes total sense, because everyone that's on the, you only vote on a list and contribute to a list that you actually care about. And so, it's funny, but if I vote a list of the top audio boo fans in Ireland, I guarantee you, Paul is going to get on with every single one of them. Right?